Thank you. Hear now the words of our Lord as recorded in Matthew chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I had just arrived at a new parish where I was serving, and on my desk, the previous pastor had left me a stack of about 25 little index cards with names and addresses and phone numbers on them, and a note next to it that explained that the congregation had recently gone through kind of a phone survey of people in the neighborhood trying to invite people to come to the church. And these were the 25 or so names that they felt would be worthy of me contacting again to see if they'd be interested in coming. One of the first names and first cards that I pulled up that next week as I started to make these phone calls was a woman who was probably in her early 60s, maybe late 50s. And we had a nice conversation. She and her husband, she told us, used to go to church when they first got married, but they'd fallen away now through the years and had kind of lost interest in it. But someday they might come back. And they were only about 3 blocks from our church. So I said, "Well, if it's okay, I'll keep you on the list and call you again." About a month later, I called her again. "Yeah, someday I think we're going to come. But right now we've got so many other things going on, and someday when we're not as busy." I waited a couple more months. In the meantime, sent them some little cards and things too. I think I contacted her 4 or 5 times over about 6 to 7 months. And I kept getting the same response. "Well, someday we might come. We'll see." One morning, I got a phone call, 8 o'clock. And her voice was trembling. "Pastor, last night my husband and I went out to eat, and he fell over dead of a heart attack in the restaurant. Would you be willing to do his funeral?" That wasn't the time I was hoping to serve him. I always wondered about that man. Was he ready? Was he ready for the moment that the Lord decided to bring his life to an end? He knew where to look, knew where to go and get more oil, if you will, faith in Christ. Did he really have oil in his lamp when our Lord returned to take him from this life? This parable in front of us is one of the most famous parables in all of Scripture. It's one of my favorite, I remember as a child too. There's such important, strong lessons in this for all of us at every stage of life as Christians. And in the early church, they obviously felt this way too. This gospel reading was selected for the final Sunday in the church year as kind of a final reminder of being ready and prepared for our Lord's return. And Jesus masterfully, as usual, uses common imagery from day-to-day life, the way weddings were often set up, where the groom would come and meet his bride at her house, and her bridesmaids would be waiting, and they would then go into the wedding hall. And he uses this to teach us such a very high and important spiritual lesson. And the lesson ultimately is this, that we may easily become part of the outward, visible Christian church of those who are waiting for Christ. But the question is always this: are we truly prepared and ready for him in our hearts by faith? I listed off some characteristics of these 5 foolish virgins that can kind of teach us a lesson in our spiritual lives. Let's consider them. First of all, At one time, you can tell that they were properly waiting for the bridegroom. This represents that there are people waiting for Christ. They know this is important. Number two, they are in the physical proximity of the other bridesmaids. They are, if you will, among fellow Christians. They are around other Christians in the church. Number three, they clearly understand the significance of the oil. They just have had it run out, but when they realize they've run out, they really realize they need to go get more of it. They realize the importance of having faith in Christ. And they know that they have to go seek for it. And they even know where they are to go to find it. They know about the church. They know about the means of grace. They know about God's word and sacrament. And they also know where the wedding hall is located. And they have a general expectation that they will be let in. These are things we can say about these five foolish virgins. And Jesus is teaching us a lesson here. And it's not just for people who avoid going to church and put off going to church and hearing God's word. But even for those of us that sit regularly in the pew or stand in this pulpit or stand in religion classes and teach others about the word of God, there is a danger for us not to fall into lethargy about our own faith, so that we ultimately just end up kind of going through the motions, just kind of doing things by rote because it's kind of a habit we have. In fact, that's what Walther describes these five virgins here. He says they are Christians by habit. The book of Isaiah says this about people such as this: "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from them." For them, Christianity is something that's just become kind of a ritual, something that they just kind of go and do. And it has to do with outward appearance. But there's a danger here for us, and certainly for myself, when my repentance before God just becomes a bunch of words, and it doesn't really reach my heart anymore. Notice on that final day, the frantic rush that there will be to get more of this oil. When the warning cry finally goes out, when Christ finally returns, there will be this mad rush, and there will be not just the unbelievers wondering what's going on, but people who had at one time been inside of the church and had been believers. These are the ones Christ is addressing. That there will be some now who realize they are without faith. But on that day, the store will finally be closed. The church will no longer be here dispensing the means of grace and the forgiveness of sins on that last day. And so the lesson is to get it now. It's not just a lesson for us about the end of time or possibly the end of our life, but it really has to do with our potential lack of interest in the things of God's kingdom even now. Years ago, there were some riots in the city of Los Angeles, and looters broke into all the neighborhood grocery stores and stores, busted the windows, and went in and stole everything off of the shelves. I remember camera crews went in afterwards. There was hardly anything left on the shelves anymore. They just completely stole things out of the stores. People treated these shops like they could care less about them. Months later, as they were trying to rebuild the city and rebuild these neighborhoods, many of these store owners just took their stores away, because they had been treated so badly. And now the people were angry that they didn't have a place to go buy anything. If we treat the Word of God and the sacraments in our life as if they're not worth anything and despise them, don't be surprised if God finally pulls it away from us someday. It's starting to happen in our country. It's happened in Europe. It's happened in Norway, the homeland of my parents and everybody back in my family. Because the Word of God ultimately ended up being despised, the stores finally shut down. You couldn't buy any more oil. And that's the dangerous lesson that we need to learn. And then we hear these frightening words that Luther calls the saddest words in all of Scripture. When the five foolish ones come to the door of the hall, and the Lord has to say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." The time to get the oil is now. Don't think you can put it off. Don't think that because you're young and you've got plenty of years ahead of you, you can waste your time now and someday come back to it. Today's the day to get the oil. Today is the day to come before Christ, to hear of His grace and mercy, to go to His word and sacrament, and to fill up your lamp. Notice the characteristics of the five wise virgins. They are well aware of the potential for lethargy, and they're concerned that it might happen to them. If that's a concern in your heart today, that's an indication you're in the group of the five wise virgins. Their hearts are pricked with concern about possibly missing the return of the bridegroom. They're longing for him to come back, and they're looking for that to happen, and they're looking forward to what he brings them. Their consciences are already made aware of their many sins and why they need his grace and forgiveness, and they understand what a great need they have to be in the presence of this bridegroom. They treasure the gospel. They don't toy with the grace of God. They take it seriously. Just think of the excitement that they had of finally entering the hall. The excitement that we will have as believers in Christ of finally entering that beautiful wedding feast. I've been to some pretty awesome wedding banquets and some pretty awesome weddings through the years. And to think that God uses that imagery and the joy of that and the feast that is spread there uses that as a picture of heaven for us and then says, no eye has seen what God has prepared for those who love him. May this be our constant number one concern, to make sure that we're ready to enter that hall so that we don't miss that awesome celebration. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Today we offer a prayer on behalf of Melody McIntyre, the mother of John McIntyre. She has suffered a very severe head injury from a fall on the ice. She is in intensive care in the Twin Cities and in an induced coma in order to relieve the swelling on her brain, and she has also suffered a stroke during this. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of Melody in this time of great concern. Give an extra measure of ability and knowledge to those who now work to preserve her life. Comfort the members of her family that you will work all things for the good of those who are called according to your purpose. Teach all of us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We ask all of this in the name of Christ, our returning Lord and King. Amen.